sick with the slang, sick and I'm destined for fame. Do for the fam, not for the gram. Stunt me, you're destined for pain. I do not front, I do not scam. Put some respect on my name. Sick like Cobain, click and I bang. Y'all gon' remember the name. Y'all gon' remember the name. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to another episode of Real Talk with Zuby. On today's podcast, we have got a special guest. He is a kickboxer, he is a philanthropist, and all-around nice guy. Welcome, Andrew Tate.
I really like that introduction. Thank you very much. I am definitely all three of those things.
Fantastic, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I mean, I just finished the gym. I look a mess, but I'm not in fight shape or nothing, but I just go down there to get punched in the face and get reminded of how fast I used to be. But I consider I haven't trained competitively for 3 years. I still got it.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's tricky, yeah. Man. I'm still tricky. I'm not easy to beat up or nothing. I'm still dropping people. I just get tired.
No doubt, man. So when was the last fight that you had? When were you last in fight shape?
Yeah, so I had a long, successful career, won lots and lots and lots of fights. I retired at 28, which is super young.
Yeah.
But I retired at 28, and then I had a comeback fight when I was 30, and I was beating the guy's ass, and I got poked in the eye with the lace of his glove.
Ow.
And they waved the fight off because I couldn't see. So that went down as a knockout, which pissed me off because they didn't knock me out. I was standing, I was whooping him. So I haven't been able to sleep properly since that day. That was about 2 years ago. So
oh, wow.
It's on my Wikipedia, TKO and all this.
Oh, like, I know.
I'm like, no. Yeah,
so, you know what really happened.
Yeah, well, you know, but then also it's the fight games. I mean, like, it's how it is. So I'm thinking of making a comeback March 11th. I was offered a fight in Romania and I got really nervous. In fact, I wouldn't say nervous. It's a scary thing to do, fighting. And everyone who doesn't fight imagines it to be scary, but you don't know how actually scary it is when you're sitting backstage and it's your turn next.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there waiting. It's like waiting to go to die, man. It's like waiting to go to the gladiator pit.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit how you got into it, man. Let's take it back. How did you get into fighting?
That's a good question. So I was always a chess player when I was young. I played chess a lot. So I was kind of used to chess. And then that was in America. And when I left America and moved to England, I lost my coach because my dad was my chess coach. He stayed in America. So I kind of had this gap in my life anyway. I wanted to fill it with something, but I didn't know what really interested me.
Sure.
I couldn't work out what interested me. And then...
Sorry. So your father was a chess champion. That's correct, right? I think I saw that online.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a master.
Fantastic.
He was amazingly good. And I don't think I ever would have been a master, to be honest with you. I'm a smart dude. People read my Twitter and like, oh, you're a smart dude. I'm like, yeah, I'm a smart dude, but I'm not chess level. Like, these dudes are like different level smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I think a lot of them are like semi-autistic. And the way they can look at a board and how can you even calculate that far in advance? It's insane, you know?
Yeah, it's a different kind of genius, isn't it? Like, you get people who are geniuses in different things, right? So some people are just playing piano or playing guitar or playing chess or whatever. And they're just, you can practice, but some people it's just, all right, I'm just not going to.
Absolutely.
You were made to.
They're just born with something and that's just how it is. And I was good at chess. I still play chess, but I don't think I was ever good enough for that. And then, so I always had this gap and I wanted to find something to fill it with. And by coincidence, I got in a fight at school. There was a foreign exchange student, some African kid from Sudan or something. He was like 6'6". Dude was huge.
Yeah.
I was tired. I was still young. So I was a lot smaller, but we got in a big argument in the classroom. We ended up fighting after school. He didn't whoop me. It was kind of like a scuffle. Do you know what I mean? But I held my own.
Okay.
I thought, I'm going to have to fight this dude. So I decided to Google up to learn how to fight and just carried on from there. Went to my gym and just, that's how it started and just never
quit. Did you say you Googled how to fight?
I Googled no rules fighting.
Okay. That's what I Googled. Okay.
And what came up was my kickboxing gym, which is owned by a Bosnian guy who fought in the Yugoslav war.
Oh, wow.
So he had a very, very basic website. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I just turned up there. I was the youngest person there. It was all a bunch of big ass Bosnian psychos. And I was just like, hi, I'm here to learn how to fight. And that's kind of how it went.
And how old were you at that time?
About 17.
And where was this? Where did you go to school? Where did you grow up?
This is in Luton in England. So when I left Chicago, my mother's family was all from Luton. So we all moved back to Luton, which for everyone watching, I want to make it very clear, is the worst town in England.
That's actually where I was born.
Really?
Yeah. No slight taken.
Congratulations.
No slight taken.
I've been there. I was there for 10 years, bro.
Okay.
I was walking through the Arndale.
I was there for like 6 months, maybe.
Yeah, it's all right, but it's just it's got its reputation for a reason. It's a bit run down, and when I I feel like when I walk through the middle of Luton, it's just like zombie apocalypse. It's just see like everyone's got some kind of ailment. Everyone's limping or sick or half dying or got cast on or a crackhead. And I'm not trying to hate on the place. I lived there for 10 years, but it's just one of them kind of places. You're just like, what happened here? What's wrong?
So tell us a little bit more about your background. So you said you were in the U.S. before that. Where were you born? You born in the UK, US? Just tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so my dad was in the Air Force and he was stationed in England. And my dad being my dad, laid the Mac on some pretty white thing. And it happened to be my mom. So he got her to move to America. I was born in the States. I was there till I was about 10.
Okay.
And then when they split up, my mom wanted to come back to England. So I came with her to England. I lived in England from the age of 10, 11 till about 25. So a long time. And then from the age of 25, I've been pretty much nomadic. I mean, I lived in Thailand. I lived in Slovakia. I live in Romania now. I've been jumping all over the place. I think I'm pretty settled on Romania now. But for a long time, I was just, you know, floating. I don't want to get too political on your podcast or nothing.
Oh, dude, it's fine, man. This podcast is called Real Talk. So
I'm unhappy with the way the Western world is going. I don't think the Western world is a great place to live for certain types of individuals. I think there's much better places to be if you want to be outspoken, polarizing, traditionally masculine man. I think the West is a bad place to be.
Sorry, when you say the West, do you mean the Anglosphere in particular?
I mean Western Europe and even America to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even have a polarizing point of view on your Twitter page if you have a job. You're going to lose your job.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast is because, you know, I'm an independent musician myself, you know, so a notion like free speech is obviously important to me. You know, if musicians and comedians aren't defending free speech, then I don't know who is, because it's absolutely key. And I know exactly what you mean. There does seem to be this odd climate where saying anything that doesn't go along a particular narrative, certain people, I don't even think it's the majority, right? But certain people want to jump on it. Certain people want to form little mobs, whether it's on Twitter or whatever, try to get people banned, try to get people fired, trying to get people deplatformed, demonetized. And you're seeing this, it seems like it's getting bigger and bigger. And so I can certainly understand that perspective, because I feel it a lot myself, which is why in the last year, I've become a lot more outspoken myself on certain things, because I'm like, wait, there needs to be some people need to question certain things and push back on certain things, because I don't know what the entire agenda is or what the purpose is, but it does seem quite clear to me there's a little bit of a weird agenda going on.
Oh, absolutely. It's undeniable. There's a huge agenda going on. Mm. And the fact that, you know, like you said, it's small mobs of people which will make full grown men lose their jobs for having an opinion outside of anything other than just signing up to the feminist garbage, toxic masculinity. it's just insane on every level. And and a lot of the people who know it's insane don't speak out because their livelihoods will be at risk.
Yeah.
This is how these narratives snowball. This is why these narratives even gain or hold any traction, because instead of 99% of people standing up and saying, this is garbage, you have, you know, most people are just being quiet, hoping it's going to go away. And that 1% of the crazies, they never go away, you know, and they just get more and more momentum. I live in Romania now. And when I was big on my current Twitter take speech is my fifth attempt at Twitter. I've been banned 4 times.
Wow.
4 times. And my original Twitter, Cobra Tate, I was verified. I had 60,000 followers. And when I was saying that, when I was giving my points of view on there, people were emailing my boss in Romania trying to get me fired. He was getting 10 or 15 emails a day. But Romania is different. I mean, I was going into the office. I commentate for one of the biggest MMA organizations there. And when I go into the office, he'd just pick up the emails, he'd print it out and just laugh and say, I was like, I know, it's a crazy world over in the West.
Yeah.
Mainly they just laughed it off and just thought it was funny. But that's how you lose your job anywhere else. And I just think it's insane.
Yeah, it is crazy, man. It is crazy. And I think what happens is it's that old thing, like, what's that saying? Like, I disagree with everything. I disagree with everything you say, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say it. You know, that's very much how I am. You know, there's tons of people I disagree with, right? But I'm not trying to shut them down or get them harmed in any way or cut out their livelihood. It's just like, okay, we disagree on this thing, but we can't just have a place where, all right, this is the one correct perspective and anything else makes you the worst thing. And we need to,
And what's worse is this. What's worse is it's not like it's even a fair playing field. Because if they were to say, okay, racism's bad, I'd be like, okay. Well, racism's bad unless you're racist against whites, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, so they've just warped the playing field. Like, you can't say hateful things unless it's from the Quran, and then you want to say kill everyone. I mean, I'm just giving examples. I'm not trying to
be that. No. I know what you're saying.
It's just like, it's not even fair.
No, because what they've done is, I've caught this sleight of hand. So what they've done is they've changed the definitions, right? So you'll have certain people saying, okay, it's impossible to be racist against white people, and it's impossible to be sexist against men. Because we've changed the definition, and we're now going to say that you need some form of institutional power, which I don't even know how is defined, and you need the power plus the privilege for it to even be possible. And I'm like, wait, hang on, let's look in a dictionary. Yeah. Okay, right? If a group of people of any race goes out and beats up a person of another race based on their, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that falls in the definition of racism that I grew up with. So it's like people are trying to change the definitions to suit their agenda. So it's like, okay, well, we can do this thing. We can say this hateful stuff. But if you say it's okay this way, but it's not okay that way. And I'm just like, I don't like double standards in these things. I'm kind of like, okay, look, either it's bad.
Yeah.
And like no one can do it. I don't care. I don't care about the direction. I don't care who it's aimed at or who's perpetrating it. Like if this is bad, it's wrong. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. In that perspective, it hasn't quite led me to leave the country, but I can certainly see what's going on. I mean, I'm independent myself, so I'm kind of insulated from the craziness, which I think helps me sort of see it as an outsider. It looks really clear to me. Whereas sometimes I'll have these conversations with other people, and they're like, "Oh, you're overblowing it, or it's not that bad, or it's," and I'm kind of like, "I don't think you're quite seeing what's going on. Like it's a creeping thing. So it's like, okay, it might not affect you now." But in 5 years, your very normal opinion, right? Someone is going to want to classify that someone's going to want to classify that as hate speech or offensive. Like they're going to start with the people who are on the fringes, right? They're going to start with the people who are more outlandish and who people might hesitate to defend.
Yeah.
But then they're going to just close in, and you're seeing it happening. You know, you can have people who are literally politically classical liberals. Or libertarians or standard conservatives or whatever, and you've got people trying to brand them as far right or Nazi or some kind of phobe or some kind of, and it's just like, wait, hang on, like what's going on here, man? Like people need to push back against this because it's not healthy and it's weird.
Absolutely. And I guess I could have been more of a patriot and I could have gone down the Tommy Robinson route, but like I know Tommy very well, and I look at man, he's fighting a losing war. They're throwing him in jail for no reason. They're deplatforming him everywhere. He can't even have a bank account. Like, and the people he's trying to save, I mean, he's trying to save the UK in many different ways. Just, you know, just trying to enforce basic things like the Brexit we voted for, you know, like the basic things. And they've screwed up his life on so many levels. And the people he's trying to save don't even respect him. He walks down the street, half the people think he's a terrible, horrible man for saying that, you know, we should protect ourselves from extremists and make sure we actually do Brexit. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not selfless enough to go down that war. I'm just going to leave. I literally just bailed. I was like, I'm going to go somewhere where there's common sense.
And he's from your hometown, right?
He's from Luton. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah. So at what point did you just think, you know what? This stuff is going too far.
Well, I got hit with a Me Too case, bro.
Oh,
so this was no. In fact, it wasn't a Me Too case. I say Me Too.
I saw. Is this the Big Brother thing?
Yeah. No.
That's something else. Okay. So I did see.
Yeah.
I don't watch Big Brother myself, but I saw something on that about. Yeah. I don't know if you want to explain.
No. That's a video of me and my ex-girlfriend. She came out afterwards and said it was all fake for TV. You can Google it up and say if you type in Andrew Tate's girlfriend reacts or something. She came forward and said that was fake. But before that, I had a girl lie and say I hit her when I didn't. And even though I had not, even though there was literally 9 witnesses in the room when she said it took place, and even though all 9 of those witnesses went to the police station and gave a statement in my defense, and even though I had text messages prove she was lying, it was still a 2-year bail process. Two years. They took my phones and laptops. They kept me on bail for 2 entire years with all that evidence I had. against her word. And, yeah. and I was sitting there with police officers saying, how can you not detect this is clearly a fallacy? She texts me. I owed her money. So really long story, but she was working for me. I owed her a bit of money. She was acting like an idiot. I fired her. I wouldn't pay her 200 and something pounds. Small money.
Okay.
And she went to the police and lied. I was like, you have a text message here saying, if you don't pay me, I'm going to ruin your life. This is 2 days before she came to see you. Like, I have 9 witnesses saying that she made it up, who was there at the time. Like, how can you even, you're a detective. You can't detect the clear motive here is revenge. You haven't worked this out. And they're sitting there going, oh, well, we have to investigate Mr. Tate. We put me in a cell for 18 hours while they raided my apartment, took every phone, every laptop, went through my entire life. And then when they went through my phone, found new crimes to charge me with. Oh, you were making a phone while driving. Brought me and interviewed for me about that. They found a whole bunch of new stuff in my phone and tried to charge me. I ended up with 9 court cases, all based on a lie. Based on a lie. And when I finally beat all of these court cases, I was 60 grand down in legal fees. So I already lost 60K, even though I'm completely innocent. And I sat there and thought, at any point in the upcoming future, even without evidence, a female can go to the police and lie about me. And if I may be unfortunate, maybe it's just me and her in a room, then I'm totally screwed. Because if you look at all the evidence I had, and it still took that long to beat it, imagine it was just my word against hers, I'd be in jail. I'm a big kickboxer with a big mouth. For sure, he's guilty. That's what the police are thinking, this guy, he's guilty. So literally, I thought, I can't live under this system. I can't exist under this system. I'm going to have to start shutting up. I'm going to have to be careful how I live, careful of what I say, never be alone with a chick ever. Like, I can't live this way. I'm out of here. I literally said, Tristan, I'm leaving. We packed. We just left. It's crazy. And I say this story to so many guys, and they're all like, yeah. And I'm like, bro, I've told of the 20 dudes I've told, I guarantee it's going to happen to at least 2 of them. It's getting out of control now. You know, and it's like, you got to protect yourself in the West. You can't even breathe here anymore. You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. When I come back, because I'm in England at the moment, I literally feel that way. Cameras everywhere. Careful what you tweet. Careful what you say. Careful who you're with. It's just like, I just like being in Romania where everything's common sense, man. It's just like if a girl were to go to the police and say, the world champion kickboxer hit me. They'd be like, where? Oh, well, you didn't leave a mark. They'd be like, all right, okay, get out. Stop wasting our time. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be the end of the case. Yeah. It's insane. It's just, I don't know. This whole place is insane. And it's going downhill because the whole agenda is to feminize men. That's the whole agenda. And the problem with that is you're left with no warriors. When you're left with no warriors, your whole civilization's overrun.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen in the long term. So.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. I mean, I often make the joke. It's like a half joke because I don't want this. But sometimes I'm like, this place needs a war. I hate war. I don't want any kind of war to break out, certainly not anywhere near where I'm living or where my family is. But when you just see some of the stuff that people are complaining about or getting divided over, I'm just kind of, you know what, maybe you'd appreciate men, you know, around the time of, I don't know, First World War, Second World War. I think people appreciated men, right? I think it was kind of hard to be in a society and be like, oh yeah, men are this, men. It's like, no, like they're literally defending your life right now. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if it's been so long, like it's been that whole generation with peace, fortunately. Yeah. But as a result of that peace, it's almost like you've got this idea that, okay, like we don't need masculinity now bad, you know, masculinity is now toxic. Men are bad. You know, all men are this. And it's kind of like, wait, hang on a second. Right. Like just because a handful of guys like 0.05% of guys have done this bad thing or whatever, it's like people are trying to paint this general idea that that's what masculinity is. So masculinity is now a bad thing, or we need to raise boys more like girls, or we need to do this. Or, yeah, and it's kind of like, I mean, you must have seen that. I don't know if you saw that Gillette ad that was blowing up very recently, like yesterday or the day before. I was just interested in the reactions because it was kind of easy to predict who would be like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. And who would be like, no, this is terrible. And you kind of go on Twitter and you're like, okay, it's exactly what I predicted right here. Like I know from the people I follow, I'm like, okay, this group is going to hate this and is going to have this problem. And then this group is going to be like, oh yes, this is wonderful. And anyone who has a problem with it is a bad person. And it's like, yeah, lo and behold, it was just as expected. So yeah, I agree with you that there are some strange things going on in the culture. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if, you know, with social media and all that, if it's kind of like I'm seeing too much of it, or I'm getting a skewed perspective. Cause it's kind of like, especially on Twitter, you kind of get, you get this one take, but then you can kind of go out in the real world amongst real people. And for the most part, everything seems normal.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like you kind of outside, you're like, oh, okay, men are still being men. Women are still women.
Of course. If you were to go up to 100 men on the street and say, do you want your son to be manly? 99 would say yes.
Yeah. And but, I think the men would too.
Yeah. Twitter messes with your view. You think the world's completely lost it when really it's just a few psychos on Twitter. But the problem is this, those people who do want their son to be manly, like we said earlier, can't stand up and have a voice because, you know, in many circles with many opinions, you're instantly going to be tarnished as something terrible, and it's insanity. I have genuinely, I'm a pessimist. I was with Candace Owens and Paul Joseph Watson a couple of days ago, and I was sitting there talking to them. And these guys are amazing at what they do, and they put in a lot more effort than me into their social medias and their YouTubes and stuff, and they're doing fantastic work, and I agree with every word they say. But the difference between them and me is I believe the war is over. I'm a pessimist. Like, these people seem to think they can turn things around, and I'm okay. Sitting all of the money, all of the social media, all of the education systems, all of the universities, colleges, they're all so far left leaning. They're so far left leaning. And I'm thinking, like, in Western Europe, we don't have a single leader who's remotely even anything, not even center. They're even the conservative are left. It's so insane. And okay, we got Trump in America. Trump's okay. I love Trump. Yeah. But he's going to do another 4 years, then he's out, and then some liberal psycho is going to come in, and then they're, you know, and then it's over. So it's just like, I don't think you can win this in the long term. Not when the young, the new population are going through brainwashing in universities, when everything on social media is only leaning in one direction. When Facebook and all these other things go, oh, we're going to decide which news is fake and which news is not fake. Basically, they're just going to control everything everyone sees. It's just like, I just don't see how we can win this war. I just think the culture has changed too much too quickly. And I don't see it ever going back to any kind of common sense. I can't see it on any level. So I'm a pessimist. I think it's all over. That's why I was like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Bye.
That's fair enough, man. I think my view is a little more in the optimistic category. Yeah. I think it might have to swing further in this direction before it swings back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm one of those people, I'm cool with like a happy center. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think society leans too far politically either way. You tend to end up with craziness. And I think history has proven that. So, but yeah, it's like things get to a certain level where you're kind of like, wait, I used to talk maybe 4 or 5 years ago, some of the stuff I used to talk about, you know, in private with my friends. And I'm like, wait, just give it some time. Like, this is going to start happening, or this is going to start happening. People are like, oh, Zuby, you're being like silly. And then lo and behold, lots of the stuff I was saying actually started coming to light.
Yeah.
Right? Where you've got, where you've literally got, you know, biological men in sports.
Yep.
Saying they're women and then going and beating up or winning championships.
That's
winning
my future, race, man. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing it again.
The thing is, like, there's no, according to certain people's own rules, there's no reason why you can't do that. That's the thing. It's like, yeah.
Don't be a bigot. Yeah, I didn't know I was going on a bigoted podcast. If I knew this in advance,
oh my god!
Like, look at the size of his hand. I'm gonna get that little female face.
I'm just like, listen. Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, I think it's kind of good because I think it will, if it gets to a certain level, this will have to prove the point.
Yeah.
Right, like this will have to prove the point. If Usain Bolt has retired and then he comes back 2 years later. And he just starts crushing all the female records. And according to the rules you have laid out, you can't even complain about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that happens on a scale, surely the average person will be like, you know what, maybe this has gone a little too far.
Well, this
so maybe that's what it'll take. I don't know.
But this is the thing. The average people already know it's gone too far. But somehow these people in charge are so connected to the agenda. It's insane. I don't know how all these people who are connected to this insanity agenda always end up in positions of power. It can't be a coincidence, but anyone with a brain knows it's garbage. I comment on the differences between the sexes a lot because I'm openly sexist. I'm sexist. I don't.
Oh.
I'm sexist, bro.
Okay.
Because I'm
this is the most honest.
my sexist.
This is the most honest person I've
ever arrest me. Ooh, I know I'm in England right now. In Romania, everyone's sexist. But anyway, the point is, I'm a realist. And if you're a realist and you understand that you work purely in a realm of reality, then you're going to end up being a little bit sexist. Like men are, we're bigger, we're stronger. You know, we can swim further, we can run faster, we're taller. The smartest people in the world are men. I'm not saying women are stupid. I'm saying if you take the 100 smartest people in the world, they're all men. Just in general, we're physically superior. I like to use that word superior because it pisses off the feminists. It annoys them. I don't say physically bigger. I say superior. We're physically superior to females, which we are. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff that, like, I don't know if you ever knew about Venus and Serena Williams playing a male player. Did you know about that?
Yeah, when the guy who literally drank a couple of beers.
Yeah, he drank some beers at lunch. 201 in the world. He wasn't even like a top 100 player and he smoked them.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a reason you separate male and female sports. I mean, if someone can't accept that basic premise, then
they are mentally deranged.
I'm not sure what world that they live in.
They're mentally deranged. And I encourage any female who disagrees with me to fight me. If you're, I absolutely encourage it. If you know so much and my physical male attributes are not a benefit to me, then let's throw down. You and me right now, let's work this out old fashioned way. And I guarantee when you wake up, you're going to change your mind. It's insane. Another thing is, though, there's a whole bunch of stuff that men and women should be equal at that men are just better at. Formula One drivers, like, they need to be as small as possible. The lighter they are, the better. Women are lighter than men. There's not a single female up there. Why? I can understand the tennis because men are physically superior, but there's no physical attribute to driving. Or chess. Where's all the female grandmasters? Where are you all? I don't know. I mean, I'm the reason I'm sexist is not because I'm a horrible person. It's just because I just go through life and I look at all the exceptional people doing the real exceptional things, and there's always a dude. It's just like, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Most women I know can't even park. Show me a dude who can't park. Every dude can park. It's true. You know who loves me being a sexist the most?
Women. Of course.
When I sit there and say, listen, you're beautiful, but you ain't driving me in no car. Why? Because you can't drive. Yeah, I can. Well, yeah, you can move the car, but you can't drive. So just get out of the way. Let the man do it. They love that.
Oh, boy.
You know, so, you know, I'm openly sexist. People think if you're sexist, that you're not going to end up with girls.
Gosh, it's probably the flipping opposite.
Absolutely. I don't have that problem, I can assure you. You know, and I'm openly sexist to every single point in my life. Because I've never had a woman come along and prove me wrong. This is an open invitation to any chick out there who thinks she can do more push-ups. Let's go.
Okay, this is a podcast is an open forum by definition. So if anyone wants to take Andrew up on that offer.
Yep.
Or offer some counterpoints even. I'm happy to talk to the complete opposite side. I'm happy to talk to every end of the spectrum of this conversation. So hit me up. We'll get you on the podcast as well.
That's right. Do it. Yeah. Get a feminist on here. I'd love to do a podcast with a feminist.
I'm happy to arrange it if they want to jump on this, and I don't block people. I accept if someone wants to come on here and tell me why communism is the best system and why we all should be radical feminists, then come on and we will discuss.
The thing is, I know I can deprogram a feminist. I know. The reason feminists are feminists is because if you look at their husbands, it's always some little weak ass and they've never experienced a real man. So I know that what I have in my pants can fix her. She just needs to come hang with the G. Don't worry about it, baby. Yeah, you're right. Men are trash. I get it. Come spend the night with Big Daddy Tate and you're gonna wake up different. Oh, it is. I've got the cure right here.
Oh man. This is funny. This is so funny. What I love about this podcast, I've only done a few episodes so far, but each of them has been so different. And I love it.
I say that. Okay.